Blog Talk Radio.
How long have I been living my mind? How long have I been living my mind?
Rare Bird Radio. I'm Rich Ferguson, LA poet, performer, musician, author of the poetry collection Ape and Agony out on Punk Hostage Press, and you are listening to Poet Escape. Welcome on this fine Sunday afternoon. With me today, my guest is Tony Moss. Tony, how are you?
Very good. It's nice to be with you, Rich. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for being on the show. I was thinking we could maybe just jump right in and have you talk a little about the your band, the Love Amp Project, and your organization, I Am Life.
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, in that order, the Love Amp Project didn't start off as a band. I was doing a lot of research on the Institute of Heart Math and this amazing research that they were pioneering on the intelligence of the heart. And their research was indicating that the electromagnetic field of the human heart was somehow possibly communicating with the electromagnetic field of the planet. And I've been really interested in the concept of love and how that affected, you know, community gatherings for some time. So I kind of jumped into their research and to do a benefit concert for this Love Amp Project, which was going to basically highlight their work. I pulled together a bunch of my favorite musicians, and it went so well that we kept getting asked to do gigs, and before I knew it, we had actually become the Love Amp Band, which we're all still adjusting to, actually.
Yes, that's something I actually want to talk about in a little while.
Yeah.
And, what about I Am Life?
You know, it's interesting. When I started the Love Amp Project, one of the things I knew for sure that I wanted to address was the issue of the plight of indigenous people, particularly in South America, because I have a very a soft spot for rainforest. And as soon as we felt like we had built up enough credibility to kind of bring other people on board and look for sponsors, I was driving along one day and thinking about this idea about the rainforest and how they could be involved. And literally I was cruising to this stoplight and I was having all this thought about, you know, being a part of life. And then it dawned on me for the first time, not in an intellectual way, but in a really visceral way, as I kind of brought the car to a stop, I raised my right hand and I said, I am life. Like, it really hit me that it wasn't something out there someplace that I was seeking to affect, but that I was like intricately connected to and actually was that thing. So the whole project was born in that moment. And then I just brought together a lot of really awesome people and visionaries, you know. I said, we want to do this project on life, somehow empower youth to work with indigenous people, and the whole thing took off. And now it's what we're doing. It's really exciting, I got to tell you.
Yes, and having gone to that event myself, I can totally attest to that. It is very exciting. It is very life-affirming. Talking about the band, the Love Amp Project, you know, there are so many amazing people in your band. I mean, the list goes on, you know, Miranda Rondeau, Dylan James Byrne, you, of course, my man, Daniel Pritchett. I love Daniel.
Yeah,
Sonny Solwyn. The list goes on and on. And, you know, and the thing, having seen a number of you not only perform together, but also solo, you know, I've seen Miranda do frame drum. I've seen Dylan, you know, play acoustic guitar at some of Jaunt's Unlit events. You know, Daniel is, you know, he's an amazing stand-up bass player. He has an amazing voice. And, you know, I'm curious, with so many strong talents in the group, you know, people that not only stand well on their own, but then come together as a band. I'm curious, how does that work out? You know, when you bring people who have such strong talents, individual talents and collective talents, bringing these people together to play as one.
Well, you know, the first thing I'll say to that is that working with the Love Amp Project, this group of five people, six me included, it's really like an artist's dream come true for the reasons that you brought up. I get to, when we do a performance, you know, in addition to, it's more like what happens is each of us steps forward and does our sharing, our presentation, and the rest of us become the band for that person. So that's basically how that functions. And it's really awesome because every person who steps to the microphone, I really become the audience in a way because I really admire and appreciate all of their talents so much. And to be together with them in a room, you know, rehearsing and playing, and particularly our album process, which we'll talk about, it was really exciting to watch all those energies come together and be so supportive of one another. Yeah, we really don't have any ego. We have, you know, surprisingly, we don't have any ego issues. We have insecurity issues, if anything.
You know, and something you touched on before, and I actually witnessed was that the idea of when you said when one of the members would step forward and take a lead role, there were moments when I saw that happening and where other members of the group were visually tickled, if not, you know, just completely heartened by what was happening. And I love that balance of like what you said, where each of you sort of take that role of being a leader, but then you step back and you are taking a, you know, you step back and you take a supportive role and you enjoy taking that supportive role.
Absolutely. You know, and again, it's because each of them are so talented in their own right. As you know, Miranda, as you mentioned,
is
incredibly, really at this point, internationally acclaimed frame drummer. You know, she opened for Dead Can Dance last year, which was a big dream come true, really for a whole community, not just her. But many, many years ago when we all met, I think like 17 years ago at Living Planet, this coffee house in Long Beach, we would listen to Dead Can Dance. And we were just starting to kind of feel our artistry, you know, blooming. And I remember we would say to Miranda, like, you know, one day you're going to open for Dead Can Dance. So to be in the audience that night and watching her on stage was just like, wow, you know. And I bring that up because with all the members, it's like that. You know, Sam, Bobby, and I'm part of Dirty Diamond. Daniel Pritchard was a part of this amazing metallic group called Diminish. And Dylan had Earthquake. So,
right.
When each of them comes forward, you know, I feel like I get to watch kind of the best of them and then become that band, you know, and the audience simultaneously.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing to hear, and it's a beautiful thing to see. I was wanting to, yes. And I mean that, was wanting to play one of your songs. Now, is this one of your songs or is this a Love Amp song? The track, This Love?
Well, given that we're a project, quite literally, Love and Project, we recorded 5 songs with a producer on the East Coast named Joshua Meltzer, a really amazing, talented guy. Mm-hmm. And we just went to the studio and basically laid down some of the songs that we normally perform as a group. So this one was written by Miranda, and I was just supporting her vocally, and the arrangement and all the instrumentation you hear is from Josh.
Great. So actually, that was a question I was going to ask you, who was doing the additional vocals on this track. So it is Miranda. That's great. All right. So why don't we go ahead and play This Love?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And that was This Love by Tony Moss and Love Amp Project with the lovely, wonderful additional vocals of Miranda Rondeau. That was absolutely beautiful. Thanks for that, Tony.
Yeah, and just a correction, it's actually Miranda on Lee with additional vocals by me, as much as I would like to take credit for it because I love Miranda's work so much.
Yes, yes, Miranda is amazing. You mentioned earlier the recording process. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about how that was in the studio for all of you.
Yeah, it was really a beautiful experience. What happens is I got very interested many years ago, around the same time that this coffee house started, Living Planet in Long Beach, which was kind of a mecca and hub for the kind of burgeoning spiritual community in Long Beach at the time. And I got introduced to this idea of community ritual, just the idea of people coming together as a community and using a ritual ceremonial space to reinforce their values, basically, whatever that looked like, you know, very non-denominational. So when this kind of Institute of Heart Math research into my life, I wanted to combine their actual science of the heart with traditional ritual and ceremony. So we started doing that in various forms, and a lot of the music that we record now and perform came out of those experiences of using a ceremonial setting to basically open the heart. So it was really a fascinating experience. You know, we met David Bergard, our producer here on the West Coast, just an amazing person and artist and producer. And he performed with us. I think you got to watch him at least one of the performances. And the first thing he said right away was, well, let's record you in the setting that you normally perform. So as opposed to the traditional one track at a time, we set up all the mics together in his studio, and we basically had a personal little ceremony amongst ourselves and recorded all the songs in one take and then went back in later and did a little embellishment to kind of flush them out. So we basically had a three-day weekend together living at his house and just playing music spontaneously, and that's how the album got recorded.
Nice, nice. In this day and age of overdubbing and so
right.
many other studio tricks, that's such a rare, beautiful, and organic thing to have happen when documenting music.
Yeah, and he was very clear that he said, you know, of course we could go in and do that, and we might want to at some point. He said, but let's instead focus on capturing the magic. Like, let's try to capture some of the magic of what happens when you guys play together. And I heard just 4 or 5 nights ago the first tracks from that session mixed, and I was really floored. You know, just
right.
by how beautiful he captured it. So I can't wait to share it with people.
Yes. Now, I believe that you and some of the other Love Amp folks, I Am Life folks, went up to Esalen, correct? And did an event,
yeah.
or what was up with that?
That was amazing. So our major partner in the I Am Life campaign, which reads basically as a youth empowerment project, and then and basically what we're doing through that project is bringing Western youth together with Amazonian youth so that they can dialogue and exchange and figure out how best to kind of work together. So as part of that, we're working with this amazing organization called Generation Waking Up. And they basically go around the country, well, the world at this point, and they do these symposiums or leadership training workshops where they really, literally, they're called wake-ups. And they literally kind of wake young people up, all ages actually, but they focus on young people, to not only what's happening on the planet, but in this way that really empowers them to step into some kind of leadership role. So we wanted to introduce a group of youth from LA that we hope will eventually go to the Amazon to this leadership training. So through a long process, we ended up with 24 youth that we took to S1. They're our partner, the S1 Institute. And they got to spend Thursday through Sunday there and do this leadership training. And it was life-changing and profound. Really beautiful.
You know, this actually addresses something that I wanted to talk to you about. At your I Am Life event, and also looking at some of the photos from Esalen, you know, at your events, you do indeed attract a wide range of people, you know,
right.
various age ranges and lifestyles. And I'm curious, what do you see in regards to the crossover in the older generation being able to impart wisdom to the younger generation and vice versa, as far as the younger generation being able to impart some sort of insight and wisdom along to the older generations?
Well, thank you for bringing that up and noticing it. We make that one of our priorities, this idea of cross-generational gatherings. We try to make sure that almost every event that we do has that type of appeal. Not only people from different walks of life, and I would say probably spiritual leanings, maybe, but we really focus on making sure that we're always bringing together younger and older people, and it's been really successful. And, you know, we're now, I Am Life, we joined partnership with TCN, which is really awesome group, Tribal Convergence Network. And they spend a lot of time, too, really focusing on cross-generational, you know, gatherings and support. So from this point on, everything we do through I Am Life will focus on that and how to bring young people and their elders together and listen to each other. And so far, so good. Yeah, and I got to say to that, I've been really blown away. I just want to speak to the fact that the young people in our community that I'm meeting now, I feel like 18 or like maybe mid-20s, they firmly understand and are living into kind of spiritual and the social justice and consciousness truths that I didn't even get exposed to until I was like 30. You know,
right.
So I really see evolution at work in these young people. And we have a lot to learn from them. I certainly have.
Well, yeah, and likewise, you know, I was on your website and I was watching one of the videos, and I was there actually when it was happening live, but I was watching one of the videos on your website, Global Coherence Initiative, and there was a young man.
Oh, yeah, who, philosophical.
Yeah, and I mean, he's pretty young. I mean, he looked, you know, either still a teenager or in his early 20s or something, and he was extremely knowledgeable and quite well spoken, and I was just like, right on, you know, good for you, and good for you for being so awake at such a young age.
Exactly, you know, he's, you know, very quick story. I met Phil on the internet, like a lot of people. We had this kind of beautiful synchronicity of I ran into a video of his. I don't know how, and then Miranda sent me the same video, and then another community sent me the video. And we had just been talking to the people at the Global Coherence Initiative about the possibility of them sending us one of their people to present their work to our community. And I wrote them back and I said, you know what, actually, how about you empower one of our young people? And if you guys approve, I'll send you somebody and you train them to do your talk. And we introduced him to Phil, sent them his video. He spoke with them and they said, yeah, we absolutely feel confident. So he was the first person they allowed to do their PowerPoint presentation outside of their own staff, basically.
Wow, well. He rocked it. He did a great job.
Yeah, he really does.
You know, one of the quotes I saw, it was either on your website or in that video by someone named Franz Hallberg, where he says, it has become increasingly clear that invisible magnetic influences emanating from the sun and earth affect life from birth to death. And you've spoken a little about this earlier, about the whole idea of the science of the heart.
Right.
And I was wondering if you could talk about that, about how Earth, the magnetic influences, you know, they affect us and perhaps how we affect them in turn.
It's really amazing. And I think it's, they're not the only people doing it, by the way, but there's a whole new field of research. A few scientific teams, I guess, are taking on this intelligence of the heart, they're calling it. And you know, in very layman, simplistic terms, what they are discovering and kind of theorizing is that our emotional states get encoded into the electromagnetic field of the human heart, which extends very measurably about 4 feet around the body in this kind of torus shape. Like, that's known, and it's hard science. What isn't hard science, but seems to be indicated by the research, is that these coherent states, they call it, when we're in states of gratitude, you know, love, appreciation, that those feelings get encoded into our field, the electromagnetic field of the heart, and certainly we're all interacting with each other in that way. They say that's why sometimes you can tell somebody's looking at you behind your back, or why you meet some people and you just get like this bad vibe, you know, or really good vibe. Depending on where that person is kind of resonating overall, we're all picking up on that. So what their research is showing is that the planet also has an electromagnetic field, and they're obviously intertwined. And they've done some amazing research around, like what happened with 9/11, that's a famous one from that video I think you watched.
Yes.
That they are basically, I'm going to really simplify this, they're measuring the Earth's ionosphere all around the planet with what they call these random number generators. So they're constantly just spitting out these random numbers, with no sense of coherence or order to them. But every now and then, these sensors would spike, meaning they're picking up something. And so they were looking at, like, okay, when is it spiking and what's happening? And lo and behold, it was each time some crisis was happening on the planet, and the largest spike of all was 9/11. And it happened right before the second plane hit.
Right.
So they theorized that somehow globally, because, you know, the world was completely shaken by that experience, and we as a community, a global community, impacted the Earth's ionosphere. So it shows that there's some kind of communication happening back and forth, and we don't know how it's working exactly or what it means, but it's very exciting, actually.
Yes, yes it is. Why don't we go ahead and play another track of yours,
yeah.
Come to Me Yet.
Thank you.
It hasn't come to me yet, but when it does, I will know, and I'll open my soul, and I'll give you what I have to give. But when it does, I will know, and I'll open my soul, and I'll give you what I have to give. It hasn't come to me yet, but when the world sets me free, I will know how to be, and I'll show what you haven't seen yet. When the world sets me free, I will know how to be, and I'll show what you haven't seen yet. It hasn't come to me yet, but it's all been said before I get, so I'll be still and know who I am. But it's all been said before I get, so I'll be still and know that I am. I'll say thank you for love, thank you for friends, thank you for all that there is. Thank you for love, thank you for friends, thank you for all that there is. Another day, another night, another year you've set aside, another drowning of the tide that brings the life you're yearning after. Another moment passes by, another cloud forms in your eyes, until the storm breaks and the dam around your heart is flooded open. Then all the years will fall like tears, flowing great rivers of devotion. And all stars into an indigo, indivisible. like stars into an indigo, indivisible ocean.
That was wonderful, Tony. Thank you very much. That again, that was a track called Come to Me Yet by Tony Moss and the Love Amp Project. Tony, we only have a minute or two left. I was hoping you could perhaps plug Art for Life.
Art for Life. Yeah, I'm so excited about this event. As a fundraiser to help get our 24 youth from L.A. to the Amazon, we've invited some amazing artists from all over the world, really, visionary artists, to create original artwork based on the theme of I Am Life. And all of that work is going to be premiered and on auction on April 27th in Los Angeles. And the location is still being determined because we've had offers from several galleries and we're trying to figure out which one will actually work best and hold the right amount of people, which we're still working on. But it's going to be really exciting. The Love Amp Project will be playing Avari, amazing group in Los Angeles, and Maddie and Avasha Love, and probably some other guests, and hopefully you will have some spoken word there as well. So it's going to be a really exciting night.
That would be great. Where can people find out more about you, the Love Amp Project, I Am Life, and also where they can find out about where the Art for Life event will be held?
Yeah, everything is on our website on loveamp.org.
Excellent. Well, this about wraps it up for another edition of Poet Escape. Again, big thanks to you, Tony Moss, and to the Love Amp Project for everything you're doing. I Am Life, Art for Life, and everything else. And all the best to the youth out there that you're working with and linking them with the youth in the Amazon. It's such a great thing you're doing. Also, thanks to our sponsors, Rare Bird Lit, for all your writerly needs. Please visit Tyson Cornell and the lovely Julia online at rarebirdlit.com. You can find me, Rich Ferguson, online as well on YouTube, Facebook, and also at wevoicesing.com. Speaking of which, the show's theme music is by We Voice Sing. That about wraps it up, and I look forward to hopefully seeing you all again next week, Easter Sunday, on another edition of Poet Escape. Thanks a lot, and thanks a lot, Tony.
Thank you.